Let me encourage you to turn in your psalm books to number 464. You know, it's the Christmas season, and we're hearing all of these songs on the radio and television and all the specials and everything. One of the things that I thought was kind of interesting, if you start, and we ran into this in the parade, we were singing Jingle Bells, and somebody said, "I didn't know that had a second verse." And the point is that most of these songs have a second, third, fourth verse, and when you start reading them, they have some strong biblical messages and a lot of teaching that is involved. We tend to sing the first verse without asking ourselves, what's the purpose of this song? What is it saying to us? What does it tell us about Jesus? What does it tell us about the church? What does it tell us about us? And I think it's important for us to stop and look at some of these songs. And so we're going to do that this morning. We're going to be singing a lot of them. They're all familiar songs. Our kids know them. We know them. What we're also going to do is to look at some of the passages, some of the biblical passages that the songs are frequently drawn from. And I realize some of you may know that some of these songs had very specific incidents in the author's lives. We're not dealing with that so much as to what the final product was. Number 464 is a call to worship. After we sing this song, we'll ask Bill Salmons to lead us in an opening prayer. But the song basically comes from Luke 2, beginning with verse 10. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." You know, that's quite a statement. All the people. Not just the religious hierarchy, not just the political leaders. All the people. Today in the town of David, and we'll talk about that phrase a little later, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Angels praise God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests." Verse 14. God's favor has surely rested on us this morning. Here we sit in a warm room, sheltered from the rain and the snow. Here we sit with food in our stomachs, a fairly good measure of health. You know, we all have our aches and pains, but here we sit, not having to worry about some guy charging through that door with a machine gun and killing us all. Boy, has God's favor been on us. This is a happy morning. This is a happy meeting. And let's keep that in mind together as Richard leads us in number 464. Let me encourage you to turn to number 202. Number 202, and while you're turning there, let me point out something that you might have missed as we sang number 464. So many times in these songs, there's a statement that just sort of is introduced parenthetically, and we might not understand the significance of it. But the last stanza of number 464 is talking about praying to God, talking to God. Let me read the whole stanza to you. And remember, this is 464, which we're not going to sing again, but which we just sang. "Yes, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to Thee be all glory given." Now listen to this phrase. "Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing." Do we really comprehend the fact that Jesus, in the words of John 1, verse 1, Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. As we read Scripture, we're not just listening to some preacher. We're not just guessing at interpretation. We're listening to what God has to say to us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That had never happened before. It never has happened since. It will never happen again. The reason this congregation places so much emphasis on the Bible is because it's the Word of God. And the special nature of Jesus coming to earth with the Word is so significant. And so this next psalm, number 202, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Want something fun? Ask a kid what herald means. What's a herald angel? Is that anything like a hallowed angel? And of course, the word herald is one who announces. Angels do some announcing. And so this is hark. In other words, listen. Listen to what the angels say about the word that we just rang and heard about in Come All Ye Faithful. But then the other key message of this song, in the first verse, the last part, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Do you understand that we have been reconciled to God? You go back to the fall. You go back to the things that separated man from God. How sin came into the world and caused misery and tragedy and pain and suffering and war and all the things we see that are still wrong with the world. And God has provided His Word through His appearance on earth in Christ Jesus, reconciled Himself to through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we here? Why do some of us spend so much time doing things that are connected with church? We're concerned about reconciliation. This passage in 2 Corinthians says that that's what the church is about, reconciling man to God. The passage goes on and says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sins against them. Oh boy, do I want that. Don't you? Not counting men's sins against them. That's what that reconciliation is about. We don't have the capacity to be sinless. 1 John 1 spends a great deal of time saying, if anyone says he has not sinned, he's a liar. The truth isn't in him. But we don't want that held against us. And so that passage in 1 John, the first chapter, says the blood of Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. That's part of the reconciliation. He has committed us to the message of reconciliation. I want to say some more about this song in just a minute, but let's sing number 202 together. I want you to keep that open because I want to point something out to you about the second and third stanzas. The other day we were talking about Audrey, and Bill made the statement, you know, if there was a contract that God had where she could check, I'm ready to die or I don't want to die at this stage in her life, she would check, I'm ready to die, because she really wouldn't die. Did you notice the song? Twice in the song, both in the second and in the third stanzas, it says, born that man no more may die. Audrey won't die. Oh, her body may die. But what's significant about being a Christian is that man no more will die. And you know, we sing this song, we don't really see that emphasis, but it's in two of the three verses. of the psalm. And it's interesting that John 3 and verse 3 says, I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Being born again is a rebirth in a spiritual body that will never die. That will never die. Part of the kingdom. And the whole message of the song, the whole purpose of the song is to push us towards understanding that eternal life came in Jesus. Hark, the herald angels sing. Being a part of the kingdom here on earth means continually feeding our active role in the kingdom. Jesus said that when he said, and I quote, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. 1 Corinthians 11:25, actually quoting his statement in Matthew. We have a covenant with God, fed and nourished every Lord's Day. And one of the ways we feed it and nourish it is in the communion. The song uses the term incarnate deity. What does that mean? Incarnate means to give body to. To give body to. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, the bread, the fruit of the vine, we give body to Christ in our lives. We renew ourselves. We continually feed our active role in the kingdom. And so we do that in communion. And let's celebrate that communion at this time. Let's turn our psalm books to number 376. 376. Jesus came to remove sin. Jesus came to remove sorrow. Jesus came to remove the thorns of life. And this is called the curse. The curse began when sin entered the world. We made reference to that a few minutes ago. In Genesis 3, beginning with verse 17, God says, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. Sin is the source of the bad things in your life. What happens in your life that's wrong, that's bad, is not because God did it to you. But many times we are impacted by the sins of others. We live in a world that is obsessed with sin. We see it on our television. We see it in our newspapers. But because of Jesus, that curse is being removed. When we look ahead, we see passages like Revelation 21, verse 3. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people. You notice this is future tense. And God himself will be with them, and he their God. And then listen to this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For the order of things has passed away. Later in Revelation, in the 22nd chapter, beginning with verse 3, we're told, no longer will there be any more curse. Behold, I am coming back soon. You know what's interesting about that is when you read the description of the heavenly picture, the tree of life, the river, the crystal river, all that. When you read that last chapter of the book of Revelation, what you see is that everything that's mentioned in Genesis 3 about the curse is gone. Anybody ever noticed that or not? You know, the ground is no longer cursed because everything, all 12 months of the year, are bringing fruit. There's no curse, no bad weather, no black ice. Richard came in the parking lot today, tried to turn the car, it wouldn't turn. Why? Well, there's that nice coating of black ice. We appreciate him putting salt all over the place, so we didn't have to do with that. But I think it's important to understand that's part of the curse. Thorns, thistles, that's part of the curse. Crying, pain, that's part of the curse. And so we're told, you won't have that anymore. Verse 7 says, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. What's going to happen in the future? And as we sing this song, as we think about the words, notice the words reflect what we've just read about the removal of the curse. Let's sing Joy to the World. Let's turn to number 338. 338. Not only that the curse is removed, but when Jesus puts an end to everything sin brings, it's replaced with peace. You know, it's interesting when you talk about peace. When Godwick was here, his definition of peace was a lot different than ours. I mean, Godwick, for those of you who don't remember him or have met him, he was from the Sudan. While he was here one night, people came in and stole everything his family had. All they got out with was the clothes on their back. That's a little bit different concept of peace than being in a restaurant and being upset because there's a baby crying at the next table. It's important to understand that people need and want an end to war, an end to strife, an end to family squabbles, to divorce, to isolation, to loneliness. And so many of our Christmas songs are songs that speak of the replacement of all that sin brings with peace. We're going to sing two songs in a row here that are dedicated to that proposition. Number 338, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. It paints a picture of what it was like, what it will be like, to have the kind of peace, the kind of spiritual separation from evil and all the bad things that evil brings, with love, with peace, and with harmony. I guess this is a song, this one and the next one, which is Silent Night, and Richard's going to lead us in both of these, but I guess these are two songs that probably older people comprehend better than younger people. When you get to my age, you're so sick of violence. I don't even like to go to movies because I'm so sick of violence. And it seems like all the movies just have violence in one form or another. I'm so sick of hate. You know, we've seen all this terrible racial situation in our country and the things that have been fomented recently, I think, by misunderstandings on all sides. We're sick of that. Unfortunately, we're not going to be totally free of it until we get to the other side. What's interesting is that the birth of Jesus made that promise, and both of these songs sing of it. Let's enjoy the message together as we sing number 338 and later number 577. Number 338. Would you turn in your songbook to number 490, 490. You know, one of the interesting things about our day and time is how relevant the Bible is to the day in which we live. And one of the things that is unique about Jesus is that Jesus had a special love for the common man. That's you, that's me, the common man. Remember the biblical stories? The Samaritan woman at the well? That was a case of prejudice prejudice that was downright hatred. Remember the story of the widow and the mite? The haves and the have-nots. Jesus says the have-nots are the ones that are doing the real giving. The publican who, when he was praying, would not even lift up his eyes. And unlike the Pharisee that was praying with him, could only say, "Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me." The woman who was the convicted adulteress. And Jesus says, "Okay, all you highbrows, all you religious leaders, you throw the first stone if you're without sin." And Mary who washed Jesus' feet with her tears. I mean, these are accounts of common people, of you and of me. Jesus even said so strongly that principle, "I tell you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Yeah, Matthew 19:24. It's so easy to be obsessed with things. It is easier, he says in the rest of that passage, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. One of our new Christmas songs, and it's kind of interesting that young people today, so many of our young entertainers are beginning to focus back on these principles. Mark Lowry and Buddy Green have written a song that is becoming a standard. We didn't attempt to make it so we could sing it together, but it's titled "Mary, Did You Know?" I want you to listen to some of the words of this song. "Mary, did you know your baby boy will someday walk on water? Did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?" Isn't that an interesting concept? "The child that you've delivered will soon deliver you." By the way, if you would like lyrics to this, it's on the back of your bulletin. Second stanza, "Mary, did you know your baby boy will give sight to the blind man?" Blind people were the dregs of society at that time. All they could do was beg. "Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand?" Yeah, the storms of life as well as the weather. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God?" Again, that concept that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. "The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb." "Mary, did you know your baby boy is the Lord of all creation?" That's right out of Colossians, the second chapter. Everything was created through Him and by Him and in Him. "Maybe, Mary, did you know your baby boy will one day rule the nations?" Out of the book of Revelation. "Mary, did you know your baby boy is heaven's perfect Lamb?" Again from Revelation. "The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am." What a wonderful expression of the love of God. Our song, number 490, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," is an interesting song because the song probably doesn't register for those of us who don't live in the area as to what Bethlehem was about. Bethlehem was 6 miles south of Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, it was called Ephrath. You can read about that in Isaiah 35 and verse 19. David was born there. What's interesting to me about Scripture, and you know me, I'm always looking for evidence that Scripture is something that is special from God, is that there were two Bethlehems. Do you know that? There was this Bethlehem, Bethlehem Ephrath, which was the place where David was born. It was a little tiny town, sort of like Pokagon. But then there was the town of Zebulunite. It's 7 miles northwest of Nazareth, and it was a big town. It was an entertainment town, party town. much better known. What's interesting to me is that in the Scripture, every time you see Bethlehem mentioned, there is a specific reference to Bethlehem Ephrathah. Because the inspired writer seemed to be making the point that we get the right Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, an insignificant town in an insignificant place. But it speaks so well of Jesus and his desire to minister to you and to me, to bring peace and love and understanding to those of us who are the common people. Let's enjoy singing number 490 together. Would you turn to number 710 in your book? Number 710. In that last stanza in O Little Town of Bethlehem, it was interesting that the plea of the common man is so well stated. God cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Have you gotten to the point in your life where you really want to be free of sin? Where you really want to have the strength to oppose the things in the world that come and that maybe look so good? Number 710 is the song that none of us knew well enough to try and lead. It's both Richard and I tried a little bit at seeing if we could pick up the melody. It's not a song that I'm familiar with, so we decided rather than put the focus on trying to get the song right, we just look at the words. To us a child of hope is born. Key word there, hope. That was in O Little Town of Bethlehem too, wasn't it? A son is given. Him shall the tribes of earth obey. Him all the host of heaven. Him shall the tribes of earth obey. Him all the host of heaven. His name shall be Prince of Peace. Forevermore adored. The wonderful, the counselor, the great and mighty Lord. The wonderful, the counselor, the great and mighty Lord. His power increasing still shall spread. Let's reign no end shall know. Justice shall guard his throne above and peace abound below. Justice shall guard his throne above and peace abound below. Christianity is a religion of hope. We come here this morning because we have hope. Titus, the first chapter, beginning with verse 2, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, has promised before the beginning. In Titus 2 and verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope, Titus 3 and verse 7, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. Patty's lost two dear friends this week to cancer. All of us have had people we love leave us too soon. But one of the beauties of being a Christian is that we have hope. That we do not have just the bleak picture that this is all there is. I've always loved the song that Brooks and Dunn sang, written by Ronnie, who incidentally is a member of the church, in which he says, I just can't believe it all ends in a long, slow ride in a big black hearse. Yes. It's so important to have hope. And number 710 spoke about all the things we've talked about this morning expressed by other writers in these other Christmas songs. I hope you've enjoyed this morning. I hope you've been profited by it. When I started looking at these Psalms and looking at the second and the third and the fourth stanzas, I began to realize we probably have missed the most important part of many of these Christmas songs, the message that they convey. And if you're here this morning, and if you don't have that hope, don't you see the importance of being a Christian? Don't you see the relevance of what we're trying to do here? And don't you understand how much you need God? Let's turn to number 40. Number 40 is, "Be with me, Lord." And it speaks personally about our need for all the things that we've talked about in these Christmas songs this morning. And if you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, we urge you to do that as together we stand and sing.